All right. Next one, we've got Christian Branner, who's going to be talking to us about supervising and emulating system calls.
Hey, everyone. I'm Christian. I'm one of the LexD maintainers. Mostly work on the kernel, though.
Is it grim?
Maybe it's not high up enough.
Keep it differently.
Okay. Is this better? Is it better if I still keep my head this way? Okay. Right. I'm going to talk to you about supervising and emulating syscalls and how we make use of this inside of LexD. So, just a brief introduction. I'm not going to explain what syscalls are, but think of it like sort of a way that allows user space to communicate with the kernel, make a request, for example, open a file for me, write something somewhere, and so on. So like a fancy request handler, simplified. And so obviously, in a lot of scenarios, you kind of have use cases where you run an app, and per se, there is nothing restricting this app from making any kind of syscall it wants. I mean, ignore the permission checking that the kernel performs, but in general, the app can just, if it knows the syscall number and how to do syscalls, it can just ask the kernel, perform something for me. And for a lot of apps, you might want to restrict them in the way they can request something from the kernel. You want to, for example, just allow them a certain set of syscalls, not all of them. You might want to restrict how it can call a specific syscall with what arguments and so on. And this is sort of where most operating systems have kind of a similar concept, but on Linux, the part of the kernel that is responsible for allowing you to do such sandboxing is seccomp. So it allows you to intercept system calls and then denies or allows them. Usually, for example, a container runtime that runs privilege at least would block a syscall that is called open by handle add, because with symlink trickery, you can open any file on the host system that you want. And so what usually is done, it returns enosys. So seccomp profile is loaded for that application, and then if the application makes a syscall, open by handle add return enosys or eperm or whatever to tell the application you cannot use the syscall, this is off limits. So you can see where this is going, right? You can have blacklists and whitelists and so on, and most container runtimes make use of this in some form or other. But one of the limiting things is that the kernel actually never blocks. So the policy, to some extent, is not fully dynamic, right? So you can't really do something. If an application performs the syscall, stop it, and wait for me, for example, to tell you what you're supposed to do. That's not possible with seccomp. Well, it was not possible with seccomp. But that would open up a lot of interesting possibilities and would extend how you can sandbox application in a much more fine-grained way. And there's an interesting fact that you should keep in mind for the later part of the presentation. That is, seccomp never runs before the syscall number is looked up in the syscall table. So what the kernel usually does, right, you request a syscall and you pass down a number in a specific register dependent on the architecture. And the kernel then takes this number and is like, I'm looking up in the syscall table the corresponding syscall and then call it. But if this syscall number doesn't exist in the syscall table, right, then the kernel will tell you this syscall doesn't exist. Seccomp runs before that, if you know where I'm going with this. But if not, I'm explaining in a little bit. So seccomp never blocks. What could you do if it actually were you to enable, if it actually would block? Well, there will be a lot of interesting use cases. Like, what we wanted to do is to load a profile that specifies if the application performs the make not syscall, right? Then I want the kernel to not deny or allow it. I want the kernel to wait for me to tell it what it's supposed to return to user space. So the kernel blocks and waits for a response from the corresponding process to tell it what to do. And this is exactly what the seccomp notifier is doing. It's been something that's been toyed around with in various forms, and the guy who implemented this is actually here, Tycho, who did the original kernel work for this. So One of the factors is that SecComp asks user space for the return value in NO, but the execution does never continue, usually doesn't continue in the kernel. So if the application performs a syscall, for example, a make not syscall, and it blocks, the only thing that we can do right now is that we emulate the syscall in user space, right? I'm going to give a demo about this in a little bit. So what this allows you to do is basically fake any kind of syscall may be wrong, but you can very much expand what you can do with containers right now. So containers come, we touched upon this in the first talk, I think, where somebody asked, what are the limitations that you usually experience with unprivileged containers, which are the containers that you should use because they're actually safe, or way safer than privileged containers. Well, you can do a lot of things, right? If you want to mount any kind of block device inside of a container, the kernel will not allow you to do this. Because usually file systems in the kernel are not able to protect themselves against malicious images, so if you allow an unprivileged user to mount any kind of image that has been given, stick in a USB stick, mount it, and so on, you could crash the kernel easily. In user namespaces, you're also not allowed to do any kind of make not syscalls, right? If you could, you could create, I don't know, def kmem, def mem, whatever it is, and then write into random kernel memory as an unprivileged user. It would also be pretty bad. So there's quite a bunch of limitations, and this obviously means that most user space tools have not been written with containers, and especially not written with the user namespaced or unprivileged containers in mind, and it's kind of a catch-up game where user space is slowly accepting containers to be a common thing, and usually tools that get written nowadays will take care to exact function in user namespaces. But a lot of old tools, I don't know, fake root or whatever, they will usually try to create device nodes and so on, and then they're running in a container, and there is no good reason why they shouldn't be allowed to run in a container. But they will fail. But we also don't want to... I mean, the obvious solution, if we're thinking about the make not case that you could throw in my face, is why not have a whitelist of devices inside of the kernel that we deem safe, and if... You know, that's kind of messy, then you get into kind of a catch-up game where you have to wait on the kernel version and that gets you the right device node and whether it's safe or not. And oftentimes, especially for the container case, right, you have a container manager and you have the container, and the container manager is sort of your main authority apart from the kernel. The kernel denies things that are globally unsafe, and your container manager will usually be able to judge whether or not a specific operation is allowed for that container. So it will usually have an idea of the workload. Well, not necessarily, but for a lot of containers, it will know what's the workload, can I trust this process inside of the container, do I think a specific syscall is safe, and so on. And there was no way, there was previously no nice way to actually delegate this power to the container manager itself. And this is where the SecComp notifier really becomes powerful. You load a SecComp profile, and make not syscall doesn't work. But now you have this SecComp profile that stops the process when it performs the make not syscall, right? Right before it's even looked up in the kernel in the syscall table, and then it sends you a message on a file descriptor, and the user space process that is supervising the container can then inspect the arguments and so on of the syscall. For the container, and then based on that, make an informed decision. Say, for example, it's safe. He just wants to create the console inside of the container, and not something really malicious. That's the general idea. And then deny it or allow it. As you see, the concrete implementation is: you load a task, the container loads a SecComp profile, and then it gets an FD for this profile. And this FD is the so-called notifier FD. This it can then hand off to the container manager, LexD, Docker, Portman, whatever, or Conmon. And then it can be registered in an EPOL loop, in an event loop, or in whatever form, and then you can wait for events on it. And every time a syscall that is registered in the filter for the container is made, the supervising manager will get an event on the notifier FD, can then receive the syscall arguments, what syscall is made and has been made, and so on, inspect the arguments, and then do whatever it wants, and at the end tell the kernel, tell the process the syscall succeeded, or tell the process the syscall failed. Excellent. Maybe I do the demo first, and then this is the gist of it. But we've expanded this quite a bit over the last times. This is too small, right? Better? Okay, I have. How do I do this? So, I have a container running here. Not running, apparently. But so I can start a container. Let's go with the F1 and clear. And as we are the LXD project, we run full system containers, as you can see. And we are in an, one second, we are in an unprivileged container. Oop. UID map. And for the really suspicious, GID map. So what we can't do, obviously, is stuff like this. Wait, let me see. No. Whatever. Make not BBB C. That is basically make me a device node called BBB. I know, the arguments are really terrible. C is character device, and 5 is console. 5.1 is console in any case. But the kernel will not allow you to do this at all. Like, this is off limits, because you could create any device node otherwise, and there is no static device list in the kernel and so on, as I said. So now, USB stick, X4 file system. So I'm not, that's for a later part of the demo, so don't get suspicious. So now we can lexi config set f1 security.syscalls.intercept.makenot true. And now, because currently second profiles can't be reloaded dynamically, restart f1, go inside. Let's try the same exercise again. No. you can see we don't fool you. There is no mount or any, oops. Well, this is an actual device node. And it's the compstat. Yeah, it's the character special device node. And so what we did, obviously, is we haven't changed the kernel. I haven't rebooted the kernel and so on. What we did is we used the seccomp notifier. The seccomp notifier sent a message to the lexi daemon, said, this container wants to make a makenot syscall. And then the lexi daemon was like, ah, okay, let me look at the arguments. And then we have a whitelist in lexi that states, for example, def console, yeah, whatever, totally fine. And performs the makenot action for you, emulates it in user space, so to speak. If I were to change this to block device, it hopefully fails. Well, yeah, obviously it fails. I mean, I know why it is. Why this still works, because I modified the demo to allow me any device node, but good. Because I wanted to show cool stuff. The same, so you can obviously, this is a very, well, it's an interesting use case because it allows you to run tools like fake root and so on, but it's not the most interesting use case. The more interesting use case is currently we're very limited in the way that, so if you request from us, from the lexi daemon, that we mount something for you, so the user on the host types something in and states, I want this mount to appear in the container, then we can already do that. Like, we can inject mounts, no problem whatsoever. But often when you have a tool running inside of the container, right, we currently had no way to intercept this syscall. We had no way of knowing that it actually wanted to mount something that we consider to be safe. So what you can do is you can also intercept the 5 minutes. You can also intercept the mount syscall and then make it possible to have various stuff mounted in your container. So let's start with that's mount, right? And then allowed, and we state that it's fine to mount, let's say, X4. And it's F1. And, whoops. I should have a device node in there, hopefully. Yep. So I have a file system. I should probably... So let me briefly remove this. And the reason is that I want to show you that it actually doesn't work by default. Shell F1 clear. And so if you do mount slash dev sdb, which is an XD4 file system, and try to mount it, the kernel will tell you, no, this is off limits because it could be a malicious image, you're trying to crash me, whatever. Like, but if we... And set this allowed and do a restart. Now I do the mount. There it is. So, because we have in our policy allowed X4 mounts, the LexD daemon will now intercept these syscalls, and then and if you call mount from inside of the container, it will mount the X4 file system for you. The problem, obviously, with this is that it's only safe if you do it via fuse. So instead of enabling the file system, we also allow you to set an option where you can rewrite it to fuse. So any mount, any X4 mount inside of the container will be done via fuse, which is safe. That's a safe user space implementation of this. It's the only way you can safely do this. But if you know your workload and you know in this unprivileged container is running something that can only have ever access to specific types of device nodes, then it's probably also fine if you set the allowed property. The cool thing is, or one of the limitations that we've recently gotten rid of, which just got released, a patch that I merged for 5.5, is we now also allow you to continue syscalls, because what I said is the kernel never continues syscalls from user space. Actually, this is now possible when you set a specific, when you tell the kernel to do so. But be aware, this cannot be used to implement a security policy at all. It is only possible if you are sure that if you continue and an attacker, so imagine the following scenario. So a container performs a syscall, it gets stopped, and you now inspect the arguments, and then after this, based on the arguments that you copied out, you make a decision and you say continue this syscall. An attacker with equal privilege could rewrite the syscall arguments in the meantime. So you need to be sure that if that happens, the kernel will still be sufficiently protecting you. I actually have more, but I think we're out of time.
If you try to just do the demo very quickly while people ask questions or whatever, I don't know. But I can still have about a minute.
I don't have your expertise in doing demos very quickly. But I also want to take questions.
We do have the actual instructions for that on the release post for LexD3.19, so if you want to try it for yourself, we do have the explanation for how to do that, the demo he was going to do.
There's more features coming. Sargon, someone from Netflix, has worked on a new syscall that I've merged for 5.6 that also allows you to retrieve file descriptors, which means that will also allow you to, at some point, bridge sockets, so you can intercept, get an FD from the task that you intercepted, and then connected to a different port or different IP address, whatever you want. So it's pretty cool feature.
We can take one question.
If the attacker with equal privilege could change the parameters, why not to make another option to allow the application to be blocked while the security check is being done? Because this way, you could actually use this as a security mechanism.
I think I have really bad ears, so I didn't understand it.
You mentioned that you cannot use this as a security mechanism because the attacker can change the parameters while there's a check or an erase condition. So why not make an extra option for the application to be blocked while the check is being done? And this way, this could be a security mechanism.
No. Yeah, if you want. It does. It simply
so
does work.
So the thread itself is frozen when you hit in that.
The problem is if you're multi-threaded.
Yeah, well, not only multi-threaded, but also the issue that seccomp, at the time where seccomp is running, the kernel has not copied any of the memory. So as soon as you get out of seccomp and into the actual handler in the kernel, that logic there will read again from user space. So you can use it to do a quick check and deny, but you cannot really do any more because otherwise the value might still change underneath you, and that's just because of where seccomp is in the stack.
So that comes back to my point about running before it's looked up in the syscall table. So the syscall in memory has not been performed. Actual memory copying happens in the actual syscall. Mostly in the actual syscall itself. The cool thing is that, which I haven't demoed, I have a demo for this, is that you can invent syscalls with this because it runs. That's why I pointed out it runs before the system call number is looked up in the system call table. So technically, you could, for example, say some random number that is now then that I invented as a new syscall is a way to communicate to LexD to perform a certain kind of operation for you, and that syscall doesn't even need to exist on the kernel. So technically, even if you're an older kernel, we could, for example, say, oh, it doesn't have this syscall, let's emulate it in user space.
Yeah, you can emulate missing syscalls with it. You can prototype new syscalls with it. You can do a lot of really weird stuff. Okay, and we're out of time. Thank you very much.